You're listening to Simply Grace, a collection of meaningful thoughts, ideas, and interpretations of the gospel we hope you will find inspiring and thought-provoking. Delivered from the foothills of the beautiful San Gabriel Mountains, Grace Lutheran Church in Upland, California, has been serving the community of faithful for more than 50 years and is headed by the Reverend Wesley Mankey. For more information, or if you would like to make a donation, please visit graceupland.org. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast, Simply Grace.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 18. Glory to you, O Lord. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Let us pray. Holy God, we confess to you that sometimes we have been hurt by other people, even people we know from church. So, Lord, we ask your help. We ask your forgiveness and healing to make things better, and give us the strength to speak the truth to our brother, our sister, our friend, when we have been hurt. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, it is baseball time of year. Yay, baseball! And because of COVID-19, we know that baseball is a lot different in terms of the fans who are not able to go, but there are some games happening. And it makes me remember back to when I was a wee little boy and I played Little League, all the way back, I mean really little, before, you know, they even let you pitch the ball. They had the coach pitch with the machine. You drop it in and it shoots the ball out, hopefully not at you, but over home plate, and then you have a good chance of hitting it. I remember those years fondly. And I have to say, for me as a young man, baseball was kind of hard, you know? The whole hand-eye coordination thing, it's more than just running and kicking things. You actually have to hit the ball, keep your eye on the ball, they would say. Like, you know, it's just so simple, keep your eye on the ball. And I remember as a young person, you know, struggling to hit it, but then, oh gosh, once you make that connection, it is such a good feeling, that sense of satisfaction of feeling the bat hit the ball, or catching the ball. That's also hard. Someone throws it and you try to get it in the glove. There was a practice that I'll always remember because I was in the outfield and the best hitter on our team hit the ball and it was a line drive to outfield. And without even really thinking, I just reached out my glove and caught it and got him out. And everyone was so impressed. And it's those moments, right, when you feel like, wow, you know, I can do this. But I also remember that day and that practice because something else happened. It was that same day that I caught the line drive in outfield that my shoes were stolen. My shoes were stolen. I was wearing my cleats, my athletic cleats for the baseball team. And meanwhile, it was an after-school practice, so my school shoes were not on my feet. They were in the dugout. And after practice was over, they were gone. They'd been taken from my belongings, and they were gone. They were brand new shoes. They were cool shoes. I don't remember the exact brand. It was either Vans or Airwalk, but they were skateboard, all black, cool shoes, and they were gone. My parents obviously asked me what had happened, and I thought back, and I did remember that before baseball practice had started, you know, there was a whole group of us kids that walked down from the school, West Sedona School, and we walked to Posse Grounds Road to the baseball diamonds. And I remember thinking back that we were all, you know, laughing and talking and being social. There was actually a little girl. I was a boy at the time, and my classmate, my age, a girl, who was eyeing my shoes, and she asked about them, and she even asked me, she was so bold, she said, "Would you give me your shoes?" You know, and it's not like we were even really friends or anything. She was just kind of asking for my shoes. So my parents asked me, "Well, who do you think stole them? You know, who took them? What happened?" And at first, I didn't say anything. I didn't want to. I was just so embarrassed, especially if it had been this person, that my shoes had been stolen by her. I don't know about you, but each of us, I believe, have at times suffered in our lives because of other people's bad choices. When somebody acts inappropriately, when they break a rule, it not only affects their life, but it affects our lives. Your life, no doubt, has been affected by other people's bad decisions. And in our readings this morning, first from Ezekiel, and thank you, Connie, for being our lector, God says that indeed the wicked will suffer consequences from their actions. But God says something else as well. God says, not only will they suffer, the wicked, when they do something wrong, but you, by God's design, you as a follower will also suffer if you know about it and you don't do anything about it. The Lord said to the prophet Ezekiel, "I am setting you to be a sentinel, a watchman, to keep an eye out. And if you see something wrong and you don't say anything, I'm going to hold you accountable." It's a high standard that God gives to believers. When you see somebody acting hurtfully, sinfully, and you don't say anything, you too will be held accountable. That's a high bar that God sets for us. And it should give us pause and maybe feel a bit concerned. But it's not all bad news, because in that same reading from Ezekiel, the people are crying out, you know, "Well, what are we going to do? I mean, this is so stringent. You know, even the prophets are going to be punished." The reading ends by God saying, "I take no pleasure. There is no pleasure or joy for God in punishing the wicked." God doesn't delight in doling out punishments and consequences and making people squirm. That's not what God is into. God says, "What I delight in, what gives my heart joy, is when someone who's gone off the path gets back on, and when they repent and they come back and they follow the way that I intend for them, then God's heart fills with gladness and God is full of joy." And then in our reading from the Gospel of Matthew, there's even another layer that says, whenever two or three people are gathered together, God is there with them. And it's around this. When we come together to have those courageous conversations, to bring someone back into the fold, back onto the path of God, we don't do so alone. Jesus says, I am there with you. You are called to speak God's truth. God will be with you. To bring your sister, your brother, your cousin, your neighbor, your fellow church member back to the path of God. Now let's be clear. Sometimes the culture we live in is a call-out culture where people tend to delight in calling someone out in a way that they had failed and really making them squirm. That is not what this is about. Think about the instructions Jesus gave in Matthew. This is such a practical reading this morning from the Gospel of Matthew. It's so practical that most church constitutions, including our own at Grace Lutheran, these exact words from Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew are in church constitutions as a pattern to follow when there is conflict. Step one, if you've ever been hurt by someone or you've noticed some unhelpful, hurtful behavior, what do you do? And we acted it out in the children's sermon. And this step one sometimes trips people up, I gotta say. Step one is the person who has been hurt, the person who has received the hurt or has seen it, they are to go directly to the person who has done something inappropriate privately and share with that person the truth. I saw this happen. It affected me. I need you to know. Please don't do it again. Unfortunately, I have to say a lot of people just aren't willing to do that. These words of Jesus. As a pastor, I can think of multiple times when someone has come to me and said, Pastor, so-and-so said this, so-and-so did this, so-and-so didn't do this and they should have done that, so-and-so is acting like this and it's making me crazy. Most of the time when this happens, the person who comes to me is asking me to go talk to that person. And we open up our Bibles, we look at these words of Jesus in Matthew, and I ask the question, have you spoken to the person yet? Sometimes people will say, oh, no, that's a great idea. I'll go do that. Sometimes people say, nope, I will never do that. I will never speak to that person. Mm-mm. Jesus calls you when you have been hurt to speak to the person directly. Now, I will say the only asterisk I would put on that is if you feel like you're physically in danger of someone actually lashing out and retaliating you in the moment, then you can go to step two, right? Step two is take somebody with you when you go to confront, right? This is a sermon about confrontation. And how many people like confrontation? Not a lot. And yet this is a loving Christian way to think about how that happens. Now, taking a witness with you doesn't mean, hey, you do all my talking for you, right? I'm going to come meet and you're gonna tell this person what's up. No. Jesus says you are still the one that has to share from your heart what happened. And the witnesses are there to just that witness, but you still need to do the talking, the one who has been hurt, right? How many times have people said, so-and-so hurt me so many years ago, and they've never apologized? But have you ever gone to them and told them how they hurt you? They may not know. Step three, if they don't listen to you, they don't listen to you with witnesses, then finally, Jesus says, bring it before the church. If someone has acted in such a hurtful way and they just won't hear, it goes before the church council, the body of the church. And then if they still don't listen, Jesus says, how are you to treat them? You are to treat them as if they are a sinner and a tax collector. Ooh. Some people read this and say that means there's a certain point when you kick someone out of the fellowship, you break fellowship with someone. My only question is this. How did Jesus treat sinners and tax collectors? I seem to remember him eating with sinners and tax collectors. I seem to remember Sadducees and Pharisees being angry for how often Jesus hung out with sinners and tax collectors, showing them God's mercy. The point being, if someone is going down a path and they won't listen, they won't repent, they won't come back, and you reach that point and you've tried, you've done everything you can, yes, there needs to be a boundary there, but you treat them always with love and grace and mercy, just as Jesus treats us. That is oceans and miles different than enabling or condoning or being complicit. It's not the same thing. You've spoken the truth. You've done everything you can. Now you love that person with a boundary and showing them God's unconditional love. That's not allowing them to continue to hurt them. That's having spoken the truth and using God's love toward all people. So, when I was a wee young boy playing Little League, my parents told me, we spent a lot of money on your new shoes. Okay, it was a big deal. And if you know something and you're not telling us, then that's disrespectful to your parents who got these shoes for you. So we need you to tell us what happened. And so I told them. I said, well, there was this person who was pressuring me for my shoes, and they were hanging out, and when we all went out to practice, they were there, and if I had to guess, it was this young lady who probably took them. And they said, okay, our family and their family, we are going to talk. And we did. And it was awkward for me as a young person. But I remember after doing that, and it wasn't heated, it was very calm and kind, but truthful. And I remember the next day coming home from school, and in the middle of the floor were my shoes. My cool, all black skateboarding shoes. They still looked brand new. When I put them on, they felt a little different. They just felt a little different. Something had changed. And when I went back to school, the young lady was there. We had a class together. We were friendly. And we continued to be friendly and kind to each other ever since. God takes no delight in punishing sin, but in calling us to repentance, to restoration, to deep listening and patience, and letting God's mercy and justice heal. So go and speak the truth with love. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this weekly offering of Simply Grace. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast, and if you would like to help us in our effort to serve the community, please visit graceupland.org and click give. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again.